flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show, live from KeyBank Center. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
4-3, Sabres beat New Jersey, with Buffalo winning their third in a row. But that may not be the storyline of this one. Their best player hurt, Tage Thompson. We hope to get an update here shortly from Lindy Ruff when he meets with the media. And the lack of response. We know fans right now, if we're judging by social media, not happy with the Sabres all just standing there. And I think there's a point. Buffalo finds a way to get through the third. They tried to blow it, for sure. A 4-1 lead heading to the third, an AHL goaltender in net, and the Sabres barely hold on, win it 4-3. Brian Colesdale here, Pat Malacaro as well. We'll go down to the locker room with Paul Hamilton in a moment with player reaction. Well, Pat, in classic Sabre fashion, no lead is safe, and this one was, I mean, on the doorstep of being maybe an OT or a shootout loss. They figured it out, but it wasn't easy in the third.
Yeah, especially when you had the five-minute major power play after the match penalty to Stefan Nason, who was the one who hit Tage Thompson. You had 5 minutes to score. New Jersey gets the shorthanded goal, and there was plenty of time for the Sabres to find their way out of it. And it was those tense moments over the final couple of seconds, because they just really failed to get anything going in those final minutes of the game. Something that they had been able to do, quite frankly, in the past couple of games, survive, and even in tied games going to the third period, like the last game, able to find a way to win. So kind of reverting back to some of the old trends, even though this results in a win.
Yeah, and what is going to be tough to take away from this, instead of maybe us sitting here talking about them winning three straight, going for their elusive fourth there that they haven't had for so long, it's going to be about how bad is Tage Thompson hurt, and why was nothing done about it? And I think that's going to be what fans are going to be talking about with this game here going forward. I don't know if it reaches the level of Miller Lucic from a long time ago that we know. Some people say that's where the whole slide started and the drought started here. But there were four players on the ice, including someone that wears an A, including someone who's not 5'10", 105 pounds. That's Matias Samuelsson. He wears a letter, and he did nothing. And to me, he's out of the group on the ice. He's got to be the first one. At the very least, you got to go over there and do something about it. I'm not saying you have to go Rob Ray on somebody. Ironically enough, he addressed the team about having your teammates back just two nights ago. The entire team's out there listening to him, and not one player on the ice did anything about it. Let's go down to the room. Here he is, Matias Samuelsson, live.
Matias, you guys had a very good start. The Devils were able to come back. They didn't get all the way back, though. What were the differences in the game, maybe between the first 40 and then the last 30? 20, rather, yeah, I'm sorry.
70, but obviously, Upi made some big saves there to hold the lead. I think in the second, maybe we were a little too many turnovers in the middle of the ice, gave us chances back the other way, but you know, there's two teams out there they want to win too. So, you know, I think we did a good job weathering the storm and holding the lead.
How were you able to pull it together and get those two penalty kills near the end to hold that lead?
I think just limit their chances. You know, they obviously have some dynamic players. So just try not to give them too much time and space. I think zone entries are a big thing on the PK, trying not to let them enter clean and you know, disrupt the flow of their power play, and I think we did a pretty good job of that.
Your best forward gets blown up, gets a headshot. Why was there nothing done? No response.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely on us. I was on the ice. You know, I take some responsibility for that. I didn't really know what happened or who did it. Yeah, it's bull too, and the guy gets kicked out, so you can't respond afterwards. So, yeah, I do think myself included, there needs to definitely do something about it. I think there's a lot of confusion and stuff going on, but yeah, it's.
And that kind of had been running around a lot the whole game. I mean, you got Zucker after the goal. I mean, he was kind of unchecked for a while.
I think the Zucker one was, I mean, the guy, Zucks is about to put in an open net. He just pushed him from behind. I don't think that was anything malicious. But, yeah, they got a lot of physical guys. A lot of guys didn't try to, you know, step up and make some big hits. You know, that's part of their kind of identity of the team. I don't think every time there's a big hit there should be a fight in the NHL. But I do think you know, Thomas was dirty, and there should have been an answer.
Does that need to become part of your guys' identity as a team, to have that pushback and to play with the type of edge that you're seeing from not only the Devils? I mean, the Panthers play with it. I mean, some of the best teams in the league, they play with that edge night in and night out.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it's hard to play against teams that have that edge to them, for sure. I definitely think it's something you know, we could get definitely better at in our game.
Thanks, Matisse.
Did Lindy address this after the game at all?
Sorry?
Did Lindy address the response after the game, around the bench or anything?
Response to the hit or?
Yes.
No, he did not.
Thanks, Matisse. Matisse Samuelsson on the post game, and Rasmus Dahlin is right next to us here. Rasmus, it was kind of a tale of two games. You guys had a good 40, and then they scored right in the beginning of the third. How did it almost get? It didn't get away, but how did it almost get away in the third there?
I don't see it that way. We got 2 points, and. Whoever that was to score that first goal in the third period, where it was a very skilled goal, so I got to give him credit for scoring that. But we played a good 60, we won the game.
You did get two big penalty kills there that helped you hold on to the lead. What went well in those kills?
Pressure, good neutral zone, and then good clears.
That's the team you guys faced in Prague. Does this kind of show how far you guys have come since then, just in terms of, I mean, you build a lead and you played a lot more complete game than we saw, you know, to start the season there?
Yeah, I mean, everything was so new in the beginning of the season, and we were a different country, and so we're not even the same team as we were. So we're building every day, and we have to get better tomorrow also.
Is the first period like maximum efficiency almost the way you guys skated and really skated into the ground for those 20 minutes?
Yeah, it's big. We need the first period. Right now we're doing good in the first period, so we just got to continue to do that. But like you guys said, third period has to get even better too.
What's your reaction to that head-on Tage, and how big of a loss is that?
I mean, not nice. hits his head. You gotta have respect for players. I'm not diving towards a guy in the neutral zone like that. I don't think that's a part of hockey, but you know, emotions out there and stuff happens out there. They want to build momentum too, so it's part of it.
And I'm asking you as captain here, how can there be no response to that when your best player gets blown up with a dirty hit like that?
Probably didn't know who it was. I don't know. We have to work on that. That's I think that cannot happen again.
Was this this game where you go in and facing the Devils? Dylan delivered that hit to JJ and Prong. He gets Quinn up high again early in the game. Does that doesn't that kind of let you know that like, hey, we got to push back on them and get nasty back?
Yeah, I mean for sure, but. What's most important is to win and get 2 points. But I agree with you. We need more of a pushback for sure. But all we wanted today was getting those 2 points. And tomorrow we can focus on the other things.
Can I ask about the 5-minute power play? Were you guys just not winning battles during those 5 minutes?
I think we got in our own head. At the end of the game, and they just came out and scored on us shorthanded. So I think we got in our own head. Same there. We got to work on that, but it worked out. We won the game.
Thanks, Rasmus. Rasmus Dahlin on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, we heard from Samuelson. We heard from Dahlin, one of the alternate captains, the captain, and both players in the end saying that there should have been something done about it. Essentially, Dahlin saying, quote, that cannot happen again. Samuelson said, quote, I take some responsibility for that. I do think, myself included, we need to do something about that. There was a lot of confusion about it. Okay. I don't know how much I would buy that. I think it was pretty obvious what happened. Thompson got nailed in the head. And at that point, Pat, to be honest, if you're wearing a letter and you see Tage Thompson there on the ice with a headshot, does it really even matter at that point? You grab a Devil and you go, right?
I'm going to ask you the question because Rasmus Dahlin said it's something the team needs to work on.
Yeah.
Can you work on that? Is it instinctual? I'm asking, yeah. or is that something you can work on? I don't know the answer.
I mean, you got a great speech and a great lesson on why it's important to do that. Two nights ago, the entire team stood there or sat on the bench and listened to Rob Ray's speech. So I don't know if they have to really like search for like a venue for like how this could come up. Like, you literally in the last game listened to a guy who just got inducted into the Hall of Fame for why there's a value in having your teammates back. So to me, like, I mean, the timing of it in some sense, I mean, could it have happened on the exact same night for it to maybe sink in even more? Maybe. But, I mean, literally Friday night, Rob Ray is giving a speech and talking about how that was his role and how all of his teammates valued it so much, knowing that, you know, he had their back. And, like, right there, for them to not do anything with their best player lying there on the blue line, who knows what's, you know, happening at that moment. I mean, Dahlin says it cannot happen again. Samuelson said we need to do something about it. Well, nobody did. If you're the captain or if you're other players on the team and you're on the bench, all right, more in a moment. Jason Zucker, I believe, was also on the ice. He's now live with Paul.
Jason, you guys got a lead in the game in the third period. They got close. They didn't catch it, but they got close. So what were the differences maybe from when you played with the lead and then when they started getting close to you?
The teams are going to make plays. I mean, they're pushing. They're getting more aggressive. They're going to make plays. I thought we actually did a pretty good job. We gave them a couple chances. I mean, their first goal was, you know, I thought Dahls played that really well. He had a nice shot. You know, obviously we would like to have the one back on the power play there. That shorthanded one was kind of self-inflicted there. But overall, I thought we played a pretty good period.
The 5-minute power play, as you said, you had some self-inflicted things that happened, but then you guys killed two big penalties to be able to get over the hump too, which was big for the team there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think there's times when you get a 5-minute power play, you get a little complacent. Oh, okay, we're just going to, if it doesn't work on the first one, we'll get on the next, you know, shift out there. I don't think we had the right mentality. I think we were making plays that we normally don't make, and, you know, it cost us. So it was a great job by our penalty kill. I thought they were fantastic tonight, it was good to get that win.
Jason, what did you see on the hit on Tage?
I never saw it. I was on the ice. The puck came over to Hamilton, so I kind of went to angle Hamilton. It was obviously a late hit, so the puck was already gone and moving. And I think, you know, for me, I never saw the play. As you'll be able to see out there if you watch the replay, you know, I immediately turned. I'm looking. I thought it was a different guy. You know, it was really hard to tell. It happened quick.
You know, Asen was a guy who's been was running around in that game. He drilled you from behind on the fourth goal. I mean, how frustrating is that? That, you know, he gets tossed. You guys had no response on him, and he's gone and he's out of there.
Our response is we won. He can hit me from behind. We scored a goal. So, I mean, he made two plays that cost their team a win. So we'll take that all day. I mean, we can talk about responding, but you're not going to go do something that's going to cost our team a win when you don't know what happened. So I could have dropped my gloves and go try to fight someone, but I'm going to get a 2, a 5, and a 10 for instigating. I'm going to get kicked out of the game. If I respond differently after he hits me after my goal, I'm going to take a penalty, and that's going to cost us possibly. So a lot of the time, the best response is to not do anything. You know, I think it's a little bit different on the Tomer hit. I don't think anyone had a clear view of it. Talking to guys that weren't playing said even the broadcast didn't really catch it till late. You know, so it's easy to say there was no response, but personally, I disagree with that.
Jason, you've been teammates with some of the best players in the world. What's impressed you about Tage throughout this season?
Yeah, he's a special talent. I think he finds ways to score goals in a lot of different ways. I mean, people talk about his big shot, and of course he has that, but you know, his goal tonight, he goes to the, you know, drives to the paint, gets kind of a dirty rebound goal. He makes a lot of little plays. He's a big part of our team.
You guys have had a lot of good first periods this year. Was that one of the best today in terms of speed and the way you were driving play?
We'll say it's the best because we won. I think we had a couple others that were pretty darn good, and you know, we ended up losing. So I'll give you that.
But it seemed you learned your lessons too, because I think they beat you because of speed earlier in the year, and I thought you got the lead on them because of your speed.
You know, I think we are a different team than I think it's really easy to look back at Prague, which feels like it was about 3 years ago now, you know, say it was a different game. But I think they were a better team than us at that point in the season. You know, I think we've made some adjustments. We've become a better team since then. And I think it was a good showing for us tonight.
Thanks, Jason. Thank you. Jason Zucker on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, there's Jason Zucker's response saying that, yeah, he's, you know, he's proud that they fought through it in the third. But he says he's not going to go drop the gloves there. He says, I'll get a 2, a 5 in a game, and it'll possibly cost him the win. So, all right, so some different perspectives there from the room, as we heard from Samuelson, Dahlin, and Zucker. We'll get connected with our fans coming up here shortly, powered by Verizon. You can send me your thoughts on Twitter at BrianWGR. Get to your Verizon store today. Well, we obviously await Lindy Ruff for a variety of reasons, talking about them getting this win, the Thompson injury, and just what he thought of the hit and the lack of response by the Sabres themselves. But Buffalo does pull it out, a 3-2 victory. By the way, also, Yuri Kulik left the game for a portion of the third. He did return, so that at least is somewhat promising news. We'll see if there's an update on Kulik coming up here with Lindy Ruff in a moment. But while we wait for the Sabres head coach in here, let's get a couple of final stats in. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots of the third were 7-7. They end up 34-24 in favor of Buffalo. In the nets, it was Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen getting the win, 21 saves. Jake Allen the loss, 4 goals against on 24 shots. Nico Daws came in and played the third, who came up from the AHL and was 7-for-7 in the game in the third period. 3 stars, Dahlin was your third star with a couple of assists. Luukkonen and net with the win, star number 2, and Tage Thompson, who had 3 points, a goal and 2 assists, star number 1, in front of 15,710 at KeyBank Center. Both teams struggled on the power play. They each gave up a shorthanded goal as well. Sabres 0-for-4, Devils 0-for-5. McLeod's goal was shorthanded. Hughes' goal was shorthanded. That's your Dynabray.com power play update, powered by Dynabray Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. If you're listening in your car on your way home, we appreciate it. We hope you'll stick with us here throughout. We'll get Lindy Ruff coming up. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take as well here. We'll update you on the standings. The Sabres have won 3 in a row, and your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Kick off 2025 with a great new Chevy from Paddock. All right, so Lindy Ruff coming up. Samuelson did say, at least according to him, now Samuelson was on the ice, so it maybe doesn't mean that Lindy didn't say something in between there, but Samuelson did say, according to him, he did not hear Lindy Ruff address the hit on Thompson on the bench at any moment. So if you're just getting in your car from KeyBank Center and just joining us here, Samuelson on the hit said, quote, he takes some responsibility for that, end quote. He said the hit was, I'll say, BS there. He said he said the full word. He also said, quote, I do think, myself included, we do need to do something about it. There was a lot of confusion about it, end quote. Dahlin, as the captain, asked, what about the lack of response? He says, quote, that cannot happen again. He says they do need to work on that. Dahlin also on the hits, like, you got to respect players. I don't think that's part of hockey. And then went on to say, like, that, you know, that's something he would not have done. Jason Zucker, interesting perspective here on the response. He's like, the response on the hit was, quote, we won. Says, I'm not going to go do something that's going to cost us the game. If I go and drop the gloves, I'll get a one, or I'll get a two, a five in a game, and possibly cost us a win. So that was Zucker's response. The four players on the ice, Zucker and Kulik, were the other forwards out there with Thompson, and then Samuelson and Power. I mean, it's not Murderer's Row out there. There's no Rob Ray out there on the ice. However, Samuelson is wearing an A. He's a big guy. You got to do something. You got to at least skate over in Nason's direction. You got to grab him. Even if you're not a fighter. Look, if I'm any of these players, if I'm Power, if I'm Kulik, I know these guys are not fighters. You got to at least go over there, and you can do the old hug, tackle, grab on the jersey thing. You got to do something. You know, if you ask Rob Ray too, he'll tell you it's a different time, it's a different place. Like, you might have had guys coming off the bench, you know, 40 years ago in that instance. That's not going to happen in this day and age, but at the very least, considering you just had someone on Friday night here talking to the team, Rob's speech, a big piece of it was, hey, here's why there was such value in having guys having our back. The relationships he talked about in his speech so much, how impactful it was, knowing, hey, I've got your back, you've got mine. That's what makes us a team. That's what makes us the hardest working team in hockey. You know, you don't need to go and have that be a refresher. Like, it should have been fresh in their minds. We just had a speech from a now Sabre Hall of Famer talk about it two nights ago while the entire team was sitting there on the bench listening to it. In my eyes, it's a failed opportunity right there. All right? Now, you know, for Tage Thompson's sake, let's hope maybe it's not a concussion. Let's maybe hope, you know, he just got banged up and maybe he wakes up tomorrow and feels good and he's back out there playing on Tuesday. That could be the best news of it all. But for a team that now, going back to Lucic and Miller, has just been known for not having guys back all the time, for not having the appropriate response, for not having your opponents come in and push you around, for not being ready in pressure moments here, you know, I would have loved to have sit here and said, oh, look at how they pulled out the third. It was another opportunity to blow another lead. But no, this is, you know, I don't think this is what fans want to hear about right now. I think they want to know, why was nothing done here? I mean, that is your best player that got hit in the head, and he's lying there. And if you're one of those four guys on the ice, I don't care if you didn't see it, and I don't care if there was confusion of who did it. Grab somebody in a white uniform, and even if you're not a fighter, if you're Yuri Kulik, I know, you know, it's probably the least of the four guys that maybe, you know, would be apt to, quote, like, doing something here. But just grab a devil and grab the jersey and do the old hug, you know, tackle kind of thing, and, you know, at least you were involved, and at least it presents the image and the symbolism that, hey, this is not what we're going to put up with here. And New Jersey was chippy like that all game. And the Sabres at times did respond, and the Sabres in that instance, the big moment there, they did not. And I just think it's another terrible look for a franchise here that for a long time has been trying to shake that Miller-Lucic thing that still some point to as maybe that's the spot where this slide and this drought has happened and it still is going. I mean, your captain Dahlin said in there, well, maybe that's something we need to work on. Yeah, I think you do. A guy that wears an A, a guy that's, you know, 6-whatever out on the ice there, 6-8 on the ice, like, to not even skate in his direction and, like, not even chirp at him, like, whatever. I just, it's not a good look, in my opinion. I know it's not the same sport that some of you older folks that are listening watched from years and years ago, but that's not the point. Like, you have to have the back of one of your best players in that spot. I mean, Tage Thompson has been carrying this team lately. He's had three points in this game. He's been amazing. Although it shouldn't even matter. I don't care if that's your last line player who has 0 points. If he gets taken, if he gets a shot in the head too, you should have, you probably should have done the same thing. So the point doesn't even matter. I mean, it is your best player. I think that almost, you know, kind of enhances it still, but nevertheless. All right. Lindy Ruff's going to come up here shortly. We'll see if Lindy said anything on the bench. I'm sure he'll be asked about it here coming up. And again, we'll read some tweets here as we'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. You can send me your tweets at Brian WGR. Sabres win 4-3, three wins in a row. Let's hear from Lindy Ruff. Here he is live.
Passed all the tests.
What was your view of the play?
You know, I didn't watch the replay of it till after the game. Definitely a hit that you don't like. The penalty was well deserved. I know I had a couple guys that wanted to go after him right away. A couple guys. And where we were at in the game, there was going to be a time we were going to even the score.
People on the outside who would see that play, Lindy, would come to the conclusion that your team would not.
Bullshit. Let's go. Next question.
The guy, how frustrating is it, though? It's a match penalty, and the guy left, so you didn't even get a chance. He's gone for the year, and you'll play.
Well, then you pick another guy. Pick another guy. Pick any guy then.
The first period in that game, what did you like about the way that your group just came out?
I liked the way we came out. You look at Malenstein running the guy through the end of the rink right away. The jam that we came out with. If you watch their previous game, the Philly game, they ran over Philly. It was a physical. It looked like a playoff game. I knew our guys had to be ready. I thought they were. There were some guys that didn't play because I didn't know if some of our guys could match that intensity right off the bat. But I thought our guys answered the call.
The fourth goal, Zucker gets run over by Nuyse, and he gets up. He's chirping the guy. He's back in the guy's face. That's kind of more what you need more of the time from your guys.
The fourth goal is, why isn't there a call after he gets cross-checked, after he scores a goal? Tell me. I mean, in a game where they all kinds of strange calls, why isn't there a call in that play?
What helped you grind this one out? I mean, it was tight there for the final 15 or so, but what helped you grind it out?
Because we're getting better at grinding. We're getting better at grinding, finally. We're getting better at grinding. I like the aggressiveness, even that last 30 seconds. We went after him. We're getting better at grinding. We're better. I mean, we're still making some really ill-advised decisions with the puck that are costing us. But we are getting better at grinding.
What about the PK, especially the third period?
PK, block shots, we got some saves. But, you know, even the one play where we didn't get it out that should have got out, we still blocked the shot after that. That desperation to keep the game where it was. Our PK did a hell of a job.
How vital has it been to have McLeod and Tuck just really leading the way on that PK?
They did a great job. Our penalty killers did a great job through the night. That's not an easy unit to kill penalties. You've got some dynamic guys up front with Hughes and Bratt and those guys. And you got a guy that shoots it really well in Dougie Hamilton. It's not an easy unit to kill penalties on.
Do you want your PK to be aggressive to go after goals and so forth?
Yeah, we scored one, but didn't we?
Right.
When every opportunity we can to go after it, we want to go after it. And you know that when you're losing, you have to even take bigger chances. That's the part that we still haven't quite got the part about, you know, we've got a 5-minute major and we're going to give up a shorthanded goal. It's the type of play we tried to make that put us in trouble. That's where we have to get better.
Was that through most of the 5 minutes, with the type of plays you were making throughout that there?
Yeah, you know, I think our team is still, we've suffered a lot of big setbacks in games. So to get the goal scored against us right at the start of the third, it's a little bit of, boy, you're going to sense, oh no, what's coming next? And I thought we got a little bit cautious. I think we even got a little cautious. But you take Tomer off our top power play. You mix and match the units up now. We didn't look quite as connected as we should have looked inside that 5 minutes.
Do you expect to practice tomorrow?
I do. I might give him the day off, though. Is that okay?
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, there is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff, animated. And I defended both sides. defended maybe saying, hey, I got guys on the bench that wanted to even the, that wanted to get after him and said, hey, there'll be a time to even the score. Nason obviously left the game, but then he said twice, you know, about doing something. He's like, you pick another guy. So, you know, I guess Lindy would have been okay had they gone after somebody else. Here's the good news of the whole thing. Lindy Ruff says Tage is good. He said he's passed all the tests. He said he should expect him to practice tomorrow. Now, he might give him the day off, but that is huge news on the injury report. It's brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. All right. We will catch our breath here. We'll say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations at this time. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take when we return. We'll read some tweets. You can send them in at BrianWGR. I know we've got some calls. We'll take them as well at 803-0550. Buffalo 4, New Jersey 3. And an eventful game here on a Sunday afternoon from KeyBank Center. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Both teams have hit a post. Dahlin's got the puck. Sends it in front. Thompson. Oh, what a pass. Zucker buries it. Tage Thompson delivers the mail to number 17. And the Sabres get their fourth of the afternoon. It is 4-1.
That Jason Zucker goal late second period gave the Sabres a 4-1 lead. It ends up being your game winner. Our goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. 4-3, Sabres win it. They also get a big night from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Second star, including this one, a big one on Timo Meier at the end of the second period.
Sabres just trying to get that to the front of the net. Now it's a race for it. Mercer down the right side. Mercer save. There's a rebound. Still there. Oh, Luukkonen sprawls. He deserves that chant from the crowd here this afternoon.
That save on Meier with about 45 seconds to go in period two. That kept it a 4-1 Buffalo lead. Your save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. You get great deals on your entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. 4-3, Sabres win it. They try to give away a 4-1 lead in the third. Had a five-minute power play, did nothing with it. In fact, they gave up a shorthanded goal to Hughes at 5:32 to make it 4-3. So Buffalo literally had 14 and a half minutes of holding on to that 4-3 advantage, and they get it done. During that span, not only did the power play look terrible, but Yuri Kulik was hit into the boards. He went to the room, later returned, and then, of course, Tage Thompson, who took the high hit from Nason early third period, according to Lindy Ruff, said he's good, he's passed all the tests, expects him to be ready for practice tomorrow if Lindy puts him out there. He did say he might give him the day off, but that is huge good news for the Sabres. But we heard from Jason Zucker, we heard from Matias Samuelsson, we heard from Rasmus Dahlin, and got three different perspectives on maybe what should have happened with the response with the hit from Nason on Thompson. Let's get Paul Hamilton's take as we go down to the media room now. Paul, as you would expect, ton of social media and fan reaction on the Sabres' lack of response. We should be maybe focusing on Buffalo's third straight win here, but I'm sure that people listening right now would rather hear your take on that part. So let's go to the hit. Just what did you see with the hit? And four players on the ice, Zucker, Kulik, Power, and Samuelsson doing nothing. Give us your take on that situation.
Yeah, you're right. We should be talking about, you know, them holding on where earlier in the year they would have lost that game with a three-goal lead. It would have got away from them. They would have gotten nervous, and it looked like that was starting to happen. And then they had two excellent penalty kills and won the game, started winning battles and won the game. That's what we should be talking about. But here we are talking about, you know, an extremely dirty, unnecessary hit that should be suspended. He got absolutely blown up. There has to be a response there, and they should be embarrassed that there's not. And I think Matias Samuelsson described it the best. He took responsibility. He said it was his responsibility to respond, and he didn't. And he regrets it. And, you know, the rest of them I will respectfully disagree with. And I think he gave the best accounting of it. And that just cannot go on. The cross-check on Zucker after the goal, fine. Who cares? I mean, that wasn't that didn't bother me. I didn't think too much of it. But the one on when you're leading goal, when your leading scorer gets blown up like that with a completely dirty hit to the head and the helmet goes flying and nothing happens, that's, to me, inexcusable.
Yeah, and I know Samuelson did say he took responsibility. Paul, of those four players on the ice, again, you know, I think all four of them should have responded. We know Kulik's not a fighter, Power's not a fighter, but there's ways now that you can show a response without actually dropping gloves, doing what Rob Ray used to do. You can go over, you can grab the jersey, you can tackle, you can fall to the ground. You can do something, and that's at least what I have been saying since I started postgame here. Like, you have to at least do something to show you have a pulse. To me, Samuelson, you wear a letter, you're a huge guy. I know he's not a, quote, fighter, but, I mean, of the four players on the ice, like, to me, he's the most guilty. You have to do something. I mean, this is like, you know, Gostad back with Miller in terms of the guys on the ice of, you know, who should have done something there. I know Lindy said on the bench there were guys that wanted to. Can you clear up? I was a little confused. He said there were players that wanted to do something, but then he got very aggravated at the next question, and I know he jumped in. Can you kind of what was asked there that got Lindy so upset?
Well, first of all, Nason's 6'1", 205. He's not 6'9", 250. So I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Power. I don't care if you're Samuelson. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Benson. You're probably not going to get hurt if you address the situation. And you just have to. I think he was defending his team, basically, by saying that there was going to be a response. Had the game, like if they would have scored the empty net goal, he maybe indicated that they were going to go after one of the Devil players. I don't know if that meant Hughes. I don't know who that meant. But it sounded like that's what, you know, the response was going to be. But, you know, the game never got there. He did not say if he was yelling from the bench to back off. I doubt it. I don't know. I can't say. I'm not down there. He just said a couple of guys wanted to. I didn't see anybody with much want out there. So I can't tell you. I wasn't down there on the ice to know if he was yelling for him to back off or knowing they were probably going to get a major penalty or what was going on. I just know what I could see from up top, and there didn't seem like there was anybody that was too eager to get there.
We know, Paul, you know, years and years ago, there would have been you would have seen Ray, Peters, Barnaby all out on the ice, and stuff would have started flying. The Sabres don't have those players, and it's just not what the league is right now. But if Lindy wanted to send out Dennis Gilbert and say, hey, you got this, like, I'm sure he would have addressed it.
Yeah, but the guy who did it's gone.
Yeah.
What did
he say? He said twice. He said, pick another guy. So that's where I was confused. He was defending his team, but then he essentially was telling them what they should have done, right? Is that what he was saying?
Well, he wanted the 5-minute power play to get up by 2 goals.
Ah, okay.
You know, so he didn't want it addressed right then. You know, if I'm gathering what he's talking about correctly, he was waiting to get the empty net goal or something like that where the game is in hand and then go.
Yeah.
That's
where I was confused, because he was very animated to defend his team, and then he said, pick another guy, as if to say, like, you can go address it without it being Nason. So that was where I was confused.
I don't mean to be too negative here, but at this point of the season, where they are in the standings,
doesn't matter.
Could I just say, who cares if they win? I think it's more of banding together and being together. Now, if you're 2 points out of the playoffs, I know exactly what they're saying, and I'm with them 100%. You got to get the 2 points. I mean, or if you're in a playoff game, you know. But when you're this far behind with no hope, and eight teams to try to get past, to me, the win means nothing.
Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame, 4-3 Buffalo. All right. Well, for as much as maybe we can reflect about something else beyond the hit and the lack of response, Paul, they did try to give this away. It was 4-1 heading to the third. I guess I'll share with our listeners. You and I during the intermission were talking on air and then off the air. I was like, there's no way they can blow this, right? And you kind of called me out as if to say, Brian, have you watched this team here before? So You were right.
I asked if you were drinking, actually.
Yes. I have.
And Brian's not really a drinker, for those who don't know.
I have a Diet Coke up here to give me some caffeine during the game. I shouldn't have even brought that up. You're right. I was silly. And there, Paul, they did figure it out, although that five-minute power play was disastrous. I mean, there was an opportunity to do what you said. Take the two-goal lead back, and then if you wanted to address it, you could have. They never got that chance. In fact, they got more power plays. New Jersey got more power plays as the period went on.
And, you know, Lukanen gave up that goal 18 seconds into the third period, and that's when he's got to stop. And he had made so many great saves along the way. But to his credit, he buckled back down again and started making great saves again. I mean, he made some bell ringers in this game before and after that goal, and basically helped them, you know, and there were times they played very well, but he still, there were times he had to make some really, really good saves and did. And so he had to kind of hold them in. And when he had to hold them in was when Buffalo had the 5-minute power play. They gave up 2 2-on-1s and a 3-on-2 and a shorthanded goal. I mean, that's a game's worth of outnumbered situations. You know, if you gave up 2 2-on-1s and a 3-on-2 in a game, you're probably saying we got to cut down on that a little bit. They did that in the first part of the power play before they even got 1 minute through it. They weren't competing on that power play. They weren't winning any battles. And it just came back at them. And then, you know, yeah, they got the one shorthanded goal because it was Bratt and Hughes coming down. And then it was Bratt and Hughes again. But they did get back to break it up. But on the other side of the coin, that didn't turn into a complete disaster. They got through it and then took two more penalties, which is kind of in their DNA. Tuch goes at 11:43 and Malenstein goes at 15:25, but they did a fantastic job of killing those off. I thought they did a really nice job. The Tuch won for the full 2 minutes, and the Malenstein won. They killed off all but 44 seconds, and then Meyer took a penalty to take New Jersey off the power play, but Buffalo kind of forced him into with the way they were playing. So as much as I think they were losing battles and not competing on that power play, they definitely were killing penalties. They competed. They blocked shots. They did the things necessary to try to win a hockey game. So, you know, give them full marks for that. So it didn't totally crumble like it has so many times this year. It only got to 4-3, and they were able to cut it off with two very good penalty kills.
Paul, just for everyone's knowledge, the Sabres and the Devils will not play again this regular season.
They
will not. FYI.
They don't play in New Jersey because each team got a home game in Czechia.
Yep.
And then this is, you know, you play the other division three times. So there were two games scheduled for Buffalo to be the home team. So one was in Czechia, one was here. The Sabres do not visit New Jersey this year. Just like when they played the Rangers in the Winter Classic. That was a Buffalo home game, and the Rangers never actually came to Buffalo that year.
Yeah. All right. So for those maybe thinking, hey, when will there be some retribution with Nason in the next meeting? Well, that'll have to wait till maybe next fall. And Paul, good news on Thompson, obviously. Any shot to the head we know is a scary, scary thing. And it's at least according to Lindy as of this moment, he passed all his tests. Could be available for practice tomorrow, so that is very good news.
Yeah, that is good news. And if I were Lindy, I probably would give him tomorrow off too, unless he insists on practicing, which Tate may, you know. But if I wouldn't disagree with that. I would, if I were Lindy Ruff, I probably would not have him practice tomorrow either, especially if there's a, you know, if you're going to have him ready for the next game on Tuesday. I mean, what is one day of practice? So there's no real point in throwing him out there unless he really, really wants to go out there.
Yeah. All right, Paul. Well, for a last place team, we certainly have always things to talk about.
We got
another one. Right? I mean, you'd think we'd just be coasting through these post games with nothing to talk about.
And it is a shame because there were things to talk about in this game. you know, things that they're getting better at. This, to me, is their sixth game in a row now where I've liked the way they played for the most part, starting in Vancouver. They've won now, is the fifth. They'd won two, then they won three and lost two. So, yeah, they've won four and lost two, where I've liked all six games. And the couple of them they lost. But so there are things to like. There are things they're getting better at. You know, that should have been the focus of what we're talking about here. But because of what happened and the severity of it, that of course, isn't what we're talking about.
Yes. Okay, Paul, thank you for your work tonight. Appreciate it. We'll be following you at practice tomorrow, and then I'll see you here Tuesday for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Paul, I know on your prediction board, you had Columbus as a playoff team, as they are right now.
Remember when they lost to Columbus, how upset people were? How can you lose to the Columbus Blue Jackets? Well, maybe take a look at where they are in the standings, and you'll understand how you could lose to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
And on a serious note, it would be kind of a good story, a feel-good story, Paul, if Columbus did make it with what happened in the offseason with Johnny Gaudreau and their organization. And, you know, Columbus, you know, beyond what happened with Gaudreau, and I hate even tying them together, but Gaudreau's loss hockey-wise obviously was a big loss, but their team wasn't strong really to start with, and here they are in a playoff spot. They've won 7 of 10. So I think it would be really cool if they got into the postseason.
Yes, definitely. And it's, you know, maybe a position where the Sabres thought they would be in. And but, you know, Columbus is a team that has really taken off and, you know, as of right now, you know, are in good position.
Yes. Okay, Paul, thanks. We'll see you here Tuesday night.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Paul Hamilton down in the media room here. Again, good news on Thompson. And Kulik returned as well, so the injury report, good news for the Sabres, brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. Okay, before we get the scoreboard from Pat, we're going to get connected with our fans now, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's take some calls here. Evan, if you can queue up Jack here first. Jack, go ahead. You're on the air here on the postgame. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're okay. How are you?
Number one, I got to salute Paul Hamilton just for the way that he does that postgame interview. He doesn't do softball questions. He called guys for their opinion. And the sad part about it, it just shows consistently 4 years under Adams. This is a weak bunch. This is supposed to be a core. I remember back in the day, Scotty Bowman back in the day, he traded a lot of players for draft picks that you actually keep a core around. You had guys like Housley and Barrasso and Anderchuk. This group is ridiculous. And one last thing I'll say with Adams, I wish he's gone. I mean, I'm probably not the only one that's going to be calling your show. But the guy lacks any sensitivity to making a trade at the right time. He had a chance to get that Vancouver guy, didn't close the deal. He's probably like grateful that the Rangers traded for Miller, take him off a hot seat. He can't get guys here. You know what? There are other general managers. Tim Murray would have got that deal done. And he didn't care about palm trees, and he didn't care about New York taxes. The point is, Kevin Adams got to go. And I really wish that Pegulas would wake up and understand I'm done with the Sabres. They've killed my friggin' love for hockey for over 14 years.
All right, Jack, appreciate it. Thank you. I want to get to some others, but thank you for your passion here on the call. Yeah, I mean, the 13-game winless streak to me was the spot where Kevin Adams should have made a move and didn't. And right there, that kind of set the tone that, hey, everything was okay. And then the owner showed up in the middle of it all and said, hey, we believe in you guys. We're not going to make any moves. So the message from the owner and the message from the GM was, it's going to be status quo. It's up to you guys. Well, they haven't moved out of last since. So the effectiveness of that, for me, I would question, obviously, because they're still in last.
I understand the point. I would also just remind folks that JT Miller had
a no
move.
Yeah.
So he had the final say whether or not you could make a deal for him. It could have been any of the teams in the league. And he basically drove the bus on where he wanted to go in the end.
Yeah, there are going to be certain players that you'd say you'd love to have them in a Sabre uniform that just are going to say no. And even if the Sabres double the offer of what somebody else does, it still may not happen. So Kevin Adams, while I think it's fair to criticize not making moves or maybe he's missed out on moves, it's okay to – or you also have to remember that he also may have tried to make a trade or may have had trades agreed to, but the fact that there's no trade movements, there are some times where the Sabres are in the short end of the stick. They've done that to themselves.
Yeah, and that's why Elias Pettersson, at least, is something that is you can discuss, because he doesn't have that right now, where he is an option. If you were to make a package for a player like him, he doesn't have the option to say no to a deal.
Yep, I agree. 4-3 Sabres beat New Jersey here. Brian Colziel on the post game. All right, let's go back to the phones next here. And let's see here. Who do we have next? We have Tom with us in East Aurora. Hi, Tom. Go ahead. You're on the post game.
Hi. I just can't believe that these players basically come out and say that, defend their action or non-action by saying that they got the 2 points. Like, the 2 points are more important than your star player being out of the lineup for however many games that could possibly have been. It's not like you're in the middle of the playoff race where them 2 points. I think they're kidding themselves that, you know, they're even going to be there at the end of the season. So it's more about defending your teammates and showing something to the rest of the league, because the rest of the league, I can guarantee you, they all know these guys are soft.
Thank you, Tom. I think that was Paul's point, Pat, is that, look, you know, as Paul said, you know, I don't want to be negative here about where you are in the standings, but if you jumped them, now, you were getting a power play. And by the way, here's one thing I want to remind everybody. At the time of the hit, it was a 2-goal advantage.
It was 4-2, you're right.
It was 4-2, because remember, Hughes makes it 4-3 after the hit, because that was a shorthanded goal while Buffalo was on that 5-minute power play. So even at that moment, whatever you do, you know you got 5 minutes coming from him. Even if you totally erase that, it still goes back to even strength, even if you take the extra instigating penalty. Even if you get somebody thrown out, well, Nason's getting thrown out anyway. Even at that moment, even if you give up your whole 5 minutes, Pat, you still are even strength and up 2. So I don't know how much I would buy into the, well, we're going to lose the game if we do something there.
And I think the way you've kind of framed it along with Paul in terms of, it's kind of the way that the lack of playoff, making the playoffs, has kind of fallen. Is it fair to hang all these years of players not responding for their teammate, for their captain, for the whoever, being hit in a questionable way? Is it fair to say, well, teams in the past haven't done it, why didn't these guys do it? And I think Jason Zucker would vehemently disagree with that. But that's the reality of it. In the end, of if you're a fan that has been here and watched these games for so long, you've seen that happen a lot. Yeah. You've seen that lack of response happen more often than not. And yes, would you like to see the Sabres stay on the power play, win the game, check all those boxes? Yes. But also, Tage Thompson or whoever, when you have a teammate hit like that and down on the ice, you've seen many times where there hasn't been a response, and you see other teams, you see other players doing it, and you wonder, you know, what's it going to take for there to be one?
Yeah, that's the biggest argument that Zucker made, was, hey, the response was we won the game. Okay, but to Paul's point, it really doesn't matter in the standings. And I'll throw in, hey, you're still up 2, and you're going to be on the power play for 5 minutes. Even if somebody else gets 5 minutes, okay, you're up 4-2, and it's even strength. Like, you're still fine. So I don't buy that reason right there. All right, a couple of tweets here as we continue to get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon here. A lot of these, I'm getting a ton in, Pat. Some of these, as you know, I can't probably read on the radio, but all right. Mortal Gaming 5 says, this is why the team's considered soft. This is exactly why. Harrison says, bring back the memories of Miller and Mr. Softy. Yes, we have some of those, of course, going on here. Kevin says, sad this team has no emotion whatsoever. Someone should have addressed it immediately, and no one did a thing about it. Yeah, I mean, this is what fans are going to be talking about for the next 24 hours or so leading up to this next game, is this response right now, for sure, or this lack thereof. To me, Samuelson, wearing the letter, you're on the ice, you're a big guy. And like Paul said, you're not going to fight Ty Domi here. Like, just go in there and grab him, throw your gloves off, and do a couple swings and tackle him, and it's over. And then you can say it's addressed. And guess what? The crowd goes crazy for you, and your teammates cheer for you as you go into the penalty box. Like, I don't think it would have been that rough. But anyway, okay, we'll update the standings here, Pat. Let's see what's going on in the scoreboard as we take our final check around the NHL.
All right, it's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, who are Border Attorneys. Two other games ongoing right now, including Joel Armia's ninth of the season that has given the Canadiens a 2-0 lead over Anaheim. 5 minutes to go in the opening period out in Anaheim. Also, late stages of the second period, Nathan MacKinnon is 20th, Samuel Girard his third of the year. 2-0 is the score, Colorado leading the Flyers. Three games coming up at 6 tonight, including the Islanders and the Panthers meeting from sunrise. Sam Reinhart, 30 goals on the year, 57 total points to lead the Panthers in those categories. Rangers with JT Miller back in the lineup for the second straight day after being reacquired by the team from Vancouver. The Rangers and Miller host the Golden Knights at 6, while the Blue Jackets will be here on Tuesday, have a game with Dallas first at 6 o'clock as well. 7 o'clock face-off tonight in Utah for the Hockey Club hosting the Blues, while the Red Wings and Canucks drop the puck in Vancouver at 8. And the last game of the night, we'll see the Kraken and Flames meeting at 9. An update to a story from earlier on, the NHL's Department of Player Safety announced that Ryan Hartman has been offered an in-person hearing for his roughing penalty against Tim Stützle last night. The Office of Player Safety recently putting out that that hearing will be held over Zoom. And as a result of that in-person hearing, Hartman can face a greater than 5-game suspension. And also one note from the world of baseball, as Major League Baseball announcing that the 8th commissioner of the majors, Faye Vincent, dying at the age of 86. He served as commissioner from 1989 until 1992, taking over for Bart Giamatti, and then eventually being replaced by Bud Selig, Brian.
All right, so sad news coming out of the baseball world there. Pat, how far are we away from opening day here, or at least spring training? We're less than a month from spring training, right?
Less than 2 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting.
Good, that means spring is coming.
Yeah, and at least here in Buffalo, we're just over 50 days from the first game being played down the street.
All right. Another March start for the Bisons, right?
March 28th, Friday afternoon, hosting Rochester. So,
okay.
Yeah. Throughway Cup matchup.
I wish you good weather.
Thank you.
Yes.
My press box will be warm. The heat will be warm.
Yes. Crank, get the heat ready in the press box for that night, for sure. All right, Pat, thank you for your work today. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Sabres win 4-3. Again, if you're just joining us, the hit on Tage Thompson's the story. The lack of the response is the story. The Sabres, with different explanations as to why. Nevertheless, the good news out of all of it, Tage Thompson seemingly is okay. Lindy Ruff said he's good. He passed all the tests. Thompson's the first star in this 4-3 win. He gets his 26th of the season, two other assists. Buffalo's won 3 in a row. They'll look to make it 4 in a row, something they haven't done now in multiple years, on Tuesday night against the team that is the number one wildcard team, the Columbus Blue Jackets. 7 o'clock puck drop on Tuesday night. Pre-game at 6. We'll have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Okay, before we leave you here, we got to get to the Sabres general manager. Kevin Adams joined our Chopin the Bulldog on Friday night before the Rob Ray ceremony, and we want to give you some of that in case you didn't get a chance to hear it. Obviously, Adams will reflect his thoughts on Rob Ray's career and his honor of being the 44th member inducted into the Sabres Hall of Fame, and then, of course, the current state of the team as well. So here's the Sabres general manager, Kevin Adams, with Chopin the Bulldog from Friday night.
Sabres GM Kevin Adams joins us now on the Western Hotline. Hi, Kevin. How you been?
All right. How about you guys?
Pretty good. The feeling in the air for Rob Ray is very positive. He's obviously, you well know, a legend and all. And I asked Paul Hamilton this earlier, like, do you remember meeting him? And Paul couldn't exactly. He was a reporter, you know, but right starting around that time, around the Sabres. How about you? Would it have been on the ice? Was your first meeting with Rob Ray maybe in the 99 playoffs or something? Or do you have another story?
Well, you know what? It's an interesting question, but I probably have, like, different phases of my life knowing Rob Ray. A lot of Buffalo does. He broke into the league when I was late in high school, and so I kind of remember Razor as, you know, the young guy fighting a lot, and it was fun. And but then, you know, shortly after that, I'm drafted in the NHL, and I shared a same agent with Pat LaFontaine. So in the summer, I would work out with Pat, and then I would go skate with the Sabre guys, and Razor was there. So I think that's really where I first met him, and that's when he would, like, he'd give me a hard time, and he'd tell me I was an American punk, and he was going to get me when I got to the league someday. And then in 99, I'm playing against him in the conference finals, and then, you know, and you kind of go through our careers playing against each other, and, you know, we've always been friends. And then now the last 15 years kind of post-playing for both of us, know each other in different ways, spent a lot of time with him, talking about our families, you know, so it's over 30 years, different types of relationship, but it's a special night here. It'll be a lot of fun.
It's not hard for me to imagine him giving you a world of crap on the ice, wearing a Leaf sweater, being from Buffalo, finger quotes around Buffalo, right? Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's there was a lot of talking out of him, and I was smart enough to know that I wasn't going to talk back to Razor, too, so... That I can definitely give myself credit that I wasn't going. Although my line mate was Ty Domi, so I kind of had free rein to almost do anything I wanted out there, and I was protected.
I did wonder too if you had a particular story or perspective on Ray Domi from the Toronto bench. I mean, I wonder just what was said about the two guys, or what was said about Rob there from the other side. If there was anything, you know, that you remember that was interesting.
Well, for sure. I mean, there was, you know, people don't realize that, like, there was a natural mutual respect between those two. They had known each other a long time. I mean, playing against the Sabres, you know, for me and my teammates, Razor's name was always circled as, you better know when he's on the ice, because he's going to get you if you don't. And but I can tell you guys, I was on the ice a few times for some of the Ray Domi fights, and I was, you know, within feet away, and those guys, the fist off each other's face, and just witnessing it that close. I mean, honestly, it was, I was like, yeah, I'm glad I'm not a fighter, because I don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, that was a pretty scary stuff, those two.
Yeah, talking about sharing agents, I think the story is Rob and Ty Domi shared an agent when they were going to the draft. Like, they rode to the draft maybe together or something, or shared a room. Like, they go way, all the way back.
The Sabres did a nice job with a documentary recently.
Yeah, I think I've heard that. And I think that's what makes this a special night for the organization. There's so much that he's done, you know, on the ice and the history, but, you know, also off the ice and the community. And it's actually really, it's fun for our organization to be able to celebrate him. And, you know, this is the first time in a few years now that Kim Pagula is coming to the game. She's
awesome
to be here. She's going to be sitting with Terry during the ceremony. And to have her here, I just think it's special. You know, it'll be nice for them.
Ryan Miller and several other former players as well.
There's a long list, like 40-some players, I think I saw.
Yeah, a lot of alumni, and, you know, I think that is another thing. When you play long enough, it's amazing how many players come and go in organizations, and you look at the alumni list of guys that he would have played with in the beginning of his career,
right?
And then, you know, guys at the end, and it spans a long time, and I'm glad Razor deserves this. It'll be special, and I know it means a lot to him, and this morning was nice having Terry around, and a little bit of a ceremony this morning. Just, you could see it in Razor's eyes. Like, he's a tough guy, but, you know, I don't care how tough you are, it's emotional, and it's an honor when you get something like this.
Boy, talk about deserving it. Kevin, when it was announced, and I say this with no judgment towards anyone who is in charge of this sort of thing, when it was announced he was going into the Sabres Hall of Fame, I was like, he's not already in it? It was my first reaction, honestly.
Probably similar to a lot of people, yeah. And it'll be fun, but hopefully we'll back it up with a good effort on the ice.
How about Mario? Rob scored on his first shift in Pittsburgh, his first game in the league. Mario was on the ice. Isn't that Rob's story, Bulldog?
I think so.
We get him for this? Probably late now.
Rob
but,
Ray scored on his first shift in the NHL.
Yes.
I can't wait to see that highlight. And by the way, the game 4 in the 99 conference finals that Razor sent me, I was at Anchor Bar last night having some chicken wings with my son, and, you know, I've been on the road for almost 2 straight weeks between the trip and scouting meetings, and so I just got back, and I'm having dinner, and he sends me this video clip of his goal where he knocks it out of the air, and I'm on the ice, and he's like, thanks for not stopping and allowing me to score the goal.
Right.
And, You know, so I had to relive that. So I've been on the ice for one of his highlights of his career and probably one of my lowlights.
Yeah, through the legs. I think it's a goal through and an assist in Pittsburgh in his debut,
correct.
A plus two.
Correct.
And, like, he thought, like, I got it made.
Did he fight that night, too?
I don't think so. I don't think he did.
No penalties.
Right.
He scores, and he also assists on a goal scored by Kevin Maguire.
In fact, I think maybe Dave Brown is on that Pittsburgh team, and Rob has told us the story a few times, and I think Brown was chasing him around, and Rob was
Brown.
Like,
yeah.
Rob Brown, yeah, thank you. And Rob was like, I'm not fighting you. I got a goal and an assist. Get out of here.
Yeah, I'm a goal scorer.
Right.
It would have been fitting if he had started his career with a Gordie Howe hat trick.
Yes,
that would have been a pretty good way of him,
yep.
You know, stamping himself as an NHL player.
To think he didn't because he didn't fight.
Right. How many other games did he have in his career where he had a goal and an assist?
I know.
Probably not that many.
Barrasso is the goalie, by the way.
Might be one, by the way.
Might be one. So, Kevin, you say you've been on the road a lot. What's that been like with the team, away from the team, scouting? What kinds of things?
Yeah, I was on our trip out west, and then I flew from Edmonton to, I stopped home for a few hours and then went to Florida. We did our mid-season amateur scouting meetings. I was also, before that, I was a world junior, so I've just been on the road quite a bit. From this time of year, I start to ramp up my own amateur scouting just when I can. But then we had our pro scouting meetings before that, so then there's some extra scouting that I'll do from the NHL side. So just a busy time of year, but that's why I say, yeah, it's been almost two straight weeks on the road for me.
The juniors, too, this goes back a little bit. I'm not sure we've spoken to you since then. Hellenius in the juniors. I mean, there were some good moments for some Sabres prospects.
Yeah, I think we had six guys in the World Juniors, and two of them ended up winning the gold medal. And, you know, Hellenius was pretty special in that tournament. Wahlberg had a really good tournament. Zimmer and Kleber got the gold with USA. And, you know, I think a kid like Zimmer was one of the go-to players as a, you know, as an 18-year-old on that Team USA playing power play penalty kill. And, you know, that's a guy that we were able to – we moved up to get him in the third round. We moved picks, but you know, it looks like those type of kids get you excited when you see them in World Juniors, because that tournament is a pretty good indicator, you know, with just how high-end it is, of some of the kids and what they'll be able to do at the next level.
So, Kevin, the business of now, or really, you know, looking forward to early March, March 7th, I guess, is the deadline. Where are you at now? Have you talked – I'll start here. Zucker and Greenway are UFAs. Potential, like, you know, this offseason, they fit in great here, I think, especially when the season started. That third line was like a real tomato ketchup third line, and served a purpose. And then, you know, injuries and things just kind of got sideways on it. Have you talked to them or their representatives about where they're at on, well, I guess it matters if you want to retain either guy, about their interest level in committing to staying here beyond this season?
Yeah, I've connected with both of them, their agents, and, you know, these are two guys that we think are important. We'd like to have both of them back. I sat down with Jason Zucker in Seattle, just the two of us, and just talked about where he's at and where he sees himself fitting in, and you know, just I like to have those conversations. And then I actually had a couple hour meeting with his agent in person out there, and you know, he reiterated that, you know, he thinks that we can do something special here. He wants to be part of it. And I reiterated to him that we'd like to keep him and let's try to figure it out. So for both those guys, we'd like to move forward and try to find a way to get a deal done. And if we can't, you know, it has to work for both sides. But that's why you start these conversations early, and hopefully we'll be able to work something out. But if we can't, then we'll have to, you know, go from there. But our intention would be to bring them both back.
The trade deadline is March 7th. Tonight is January 31st, so it's more than a month. Do you have some sort of formula in your mind, whether it's like specific or just generally for where you need to be? I mean, you're pretty far back here, but I doubt you would say, like, you know, you're already sort of 100% over in that mode, right, with the deadline in mind here. So how do you look at, like, plus you got a couple weeks off. It's not as many games as you might like to try to figure that out.
Yeah, it's a little odd this year having like a two-week kind of off time, be almost, you know, you get back and then the deadline's going to come quick. So there's been, it's been ramped up here, I think, from conversations around the league. And, you know, I almost felt like there could be potentially two trade deadlines to some extent, one before the Four Nations break. But I don't know if the trade that happened with Carolina and Colorado maybe changed the timing of some of this stuff. So there's a lot going on. But I guess what I would how I would frame it, we are approaching this is, we're trying to make our team better. We're not looking to be sellers. I mean, there's deals you have to do for the organization depending on, you know, certain things, but we're trying to add to our team. We want to make our team better. And I'm approaching this is more of if there's deals out there, we're wide open. We have to be willing to look at everything, especially where we are in the standings. But is there hockey trades to make? You know, is there a way to improve our team and maybe with a player that goes out improves the difference? You know, like kind of similar to what we did last year with the Mittelstadt Byram. You know, it's a hockey trade. They're not easy, that's for sure. They're a lot of work, but those are the conversations I'm having more than maybe, you know, in the past 2-3 years ago where it was a little bit more focused on, okay, let's accumulate assets and, you know, just try to build that up. We've had a lot of draft picks. We have assets. We have a pipeline, in my opinion, that's very strong. So let's try to figure out hockey trades if they're out there and make our team better. My entire intention is about trying to make our team better right now and into the future.
Yeah, Byram is a good and obvious example of that just a year ago. Where are you at on him? By the way, and Bulldog and I are looking at the roster, trying to figure out what the plans might be. And I wonder if he is at a level where, and it was Chris who said this earlier on the show, to give him credit, where he might end up money-wise around where Power is. And now you've got reports that the cap is going to shoot up here in a couple of years. And that would be three very highly paid defensemen if you were to end up there with Byram. So
that are all left-handed, too, by the way.
That are all left-handed.
For what it's worth.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing with the left shots. I guess we did talk a lot about this before acquiring Byram, that he does prefer his right side, you know, and he's been playing in the right side with Rasmus. You know, even from an analytics standpoint, there's times that, you know, Power's numbers actually look better on the right side and left side. So I think, you know, we want to try to continue to work on that. It's not ideal to have, if you know, when Samuelson's in that group, to have four left shots in your top four. Ideally, you'd like at least a righty in there, so it's something we talk a lot about. But in terms of both specifically, he's very comfortable on the right side. I think, to me, he's been a bright spot this year. In a very disappointing season with where we are up to this point, he's been a guy that I think has been extremely competitive. He's a leader in terms of the room. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's got some natural just leadership instincts and some moxie. You know, he goes on the ice with some swagger and backs it up with how hard he plays. So he's a guy that we like a lot. You know, his contract's up, but he still is restricted. So there's, you know, kind of changes the dynamic. But that'll be a guy that will definitely be working hard to figure out a way to get him signed and keep him a Sabre.
You mentioned him as a bright spot. Yuri Kulik hasn't been here all year, but certainly recently it has to be that his play has been a bright spot.
Yeah, you know, I'll say this. I'm sure you guys have watched him a little bit here as he was in Rochester, and some of the elite traits he has, you guys are seeing now at the NHL level in terms of his ability to shoot the puck. And he's one of those rare kids that, you know, NHLers can all shoot the puck, but he can shoot the puck even if it's in his feet, if it's, you know, in front of him, behind him. He's just got an elite shooter. He's a strong, you know, powerful, explosive kid. But what I've actually been really happy with is his play on both sides of the puck. You know, you think of Peterka's second goal the other night, the play he made defensively to create the turnover. He's really committed to playing a 200-foot game. And sometimes young centermen, it's hard. They sacrifice offense if they're playing well defensively or vice versa. If they're going to cheat for offense, then they're sacrificing defensively. And he's really bought in, and I think looks like a true centerman. And, you know, Tage moved to the wing when he was a little banged up and he was struggling to really just couldn't even take faceoffs. We moved him over there to kind of free him up. And then, you know, he's played really well and Yuri stepped in. And so we haven't wanted to mess around with that. And, you know, we're excited about where he's at.
All right, Kevin, good luck tonight. Should be special, as we've talked about here, as the Sabres honor Rob Ray. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That was Sabres general manager Kevin Adams on Friday with Schoppe the Bulldog on our flagship on WGR. Well, as we put a wrap here on our post-game show here, good news for the Sabres. Tage Thompson according to Lindy Ruff, is good. He passed all the tests, said he should be ready for practice tomorrow. Whether or not he gives him the day off or not, we'll obviously find out. But that is very, very good news for the Sabres' leading goal scorer, who was the number one star in this game tonight. His 26th goal of the season, along with two assists, as Buffalo beat New Jersey 4-3 to win their third straight game. All right, practice tomorrow. Be sure to follow Paul Hamilton for that. And then Tuesday, Paul and I and the crew will all be back for this next game as the Sabres take on Columbus. 7 o'clock on Tuesday with the pregame at 6. Hoping you'll be with us then right here on the Sabres Radio Network. And with that, we'll say goodbye to you here from KeyBank Center in downtown Buffalo. I want to thank our crew, Evan DePasquale, our network producer back in our Amherst studios, Tom Matty, our on-site engineer, Pat Molacaro, our anchor, Paul Hamilton, our reporter, and for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. Again, the final Sabres 4, Devils 3. We will talk to you on Tuesday with the Columbus Blue Jackets in town right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.